No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Okay. Right now.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Can you hear that? Still? How about that?
One, there it is.
Okay.
Good deal.
Okay, all right. Just checking, just checking. I don't know what happened.
That's weird.
All right. I did click mute and unmute you.
It's so weird.
All right. As long as he can hear you now. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. I had to make sure Mason Woods got hooked up this morning. Sorry about that. I want to welcome in. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. BamaCentral.com. You're hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Facebook page. You're hanging out with us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. We appreciate everybody who's liked, reviewed, shared the show with their friends. Excuse me. I know all of you know Alabama fans that want to listen to the show, that need more Alabama football, basketball, Alabama athletics content. And that's what we give you five times a week right here from the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there with his clever Chromacron signs. He said if you don't have a pencil, that's pointless or something like that.
A broken pencil is pointless.
That's right. So always making people laugh as you're driving up and down 69 North. Come check him out today and find out how he can save you money on your home insurance, your life insurance, your auto insurance. That's the easiest gateway to get in the door, auto insurance. Hey, let me check my auto insurance. He can help you save some money for the holiday season. Absolutely. And, of course, we're brought to you by Strength Roofing and Siding. Call him at 205-858-9050. Zach Guffey's going to join us tomorrow for a Football Friday edition. He said he wants to talk LSU.
I saw him yesterday.
Oh, yeah, where at?
I was taking something back to the FedEx store. I had to return a package that had ordered a shirt, didn't quite fit, so I was returning it. And there he was at the FedEx store. You know, it's just interesting.
Right there we go. Did you say, hey, of course?
I did, yeah.
Good. So when severe weather strikes, you can call Zach Guffey because your roof is your first.
He's everywhere.
Your first line of defense. And he'll come out and check out your roof, make sure that you're good to go for this winter season. Call him at 205-858-9050 for your free roof inspection. Of course, we did get Mason hooked up. I'm glad of that. That's very, very important. You can check out Mason and his work at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Still giving you the fire hose of recruiting information on the Twitter machine for Alabama, for Vanderbilt, for Missouri, and Boston College. I wonder, Mason, have you, obviously you're very creative, but have you thought to check in with all the Boston College recruits that you have contacts with and ask them about the Bill O'Brien? We're fighting. Hey man, what's your reaction to that? Yeah. Obviously, record not going so hot. What's your reaction to that?
Not a bad idea.
You can check Mason Woods' workout at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine or right there on BamaCentral.com. We're gonna have a lot of fun today. We're gonna be joined by Zach Nagy of LSU Tigers on SI. You can follow him at ZNagy20. He joined us in the summer. For our kind of Know Your Enemy segment, middle of the summer. Golly, it all runs together now. But we're going to bring him back. He said we did record prediction, and I think he and I landed on 10-2. I think Mason landed on 9-3, 8-4, somewhere in there, which fine, but it has not gone 9-3, 8-4. It has not gone 10-2. So Mason's not the only one. Mason was the closest one right here. And so we'll check out what Zach Nagy has to say as they are 5-3 right now with how many tough games left did they have? Alabama, well, tough game, and Oklahoma. Alabama, Oklahoma, and maybe Arkansas bites them as well. Sure. That's a big old rivalry game. Battle for the what is it, Golden Boot, right? Golden Boot Trophy. Yeah. So they've got three SEC games remaining. Ideally, they do smack Western Kentucky, so they're at least going to be 6-3, and we'll see what they do with these other three games. And Zach Nagy is going to join us, letting us know kind of the lay of the land, especially the fallout. He's had about a week, he's had about a week and a half now since Brian Kelly was dismissed, and so he'll be.
You see, we have more updates yesterday with the whole just misalignment of the administration.
Yes, didn't they? Okay, we're making Verge Osbury the permanent AD, and then today we're not making him the permanent. Is that what I saw?
Basically, okay. Yeah. I mean, the reporting that I read initially was, you know, they have decided to name him the athletic director and remove the interim title. And then university president was pushed about, I don't know exactly who it was pressed on that issue, you know, to kind of further confirm it or whatever. And he kind of like backtracked and was, well, you know, we removed the interim title just to make this go a little smoother and we'll revisit it later. It was like, what does that even mean? Nothing is in alignment there.
That's crazy to me. And if I were a free agent head coach or a prospective free agent head coach,
0% chance.
Yeah, no, I would be staying at my school. Or
I'm looking at that phone call from Jimmy Sexton. I'm like,
Virginia Tech. A little bit. Just let me take Virginia Tech where there's
that's James Franklin's job.
Apparently, apparently, and he would do well there. That would be a fine landing spot for him.
Absolutely.
Because no expectations at Virginia Tech. Can you get us back to a bowl game? Can you get us 7-8 wins? Please give it us 7-8 wins. Get back to beating, you know, beat Virginia, and maybe bite one of these ACC schools.
Don't lose
to
Old Dominion.
Maybe bite one of these ACC championship contenders once in a blue moon. So yeah, if I were an LSU, I like the LSU job just on the surface, but when you start looking at under the hood, I'm not quite sure if that's a great, like, Lane Kiffin, don't do that. Lane, just stay at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think in years past, LSU has been a job that almost kind of just runs itself as long as you don't actively tank it into the ground. Your recruiting base is the best of any school in the country, basically. You have a plethora of five stars that grow up dreaming of being a Tiger and playing for the Tigers.
Yeah, and you have Texas right to one border, and you have Florida down on the other border.
But it no longer looks to be quite that appealing. With, like you said, all of the under the hood problems there, the things that have kind of come to light with the firing of Brian Kelly, it just seems like everyone over there wants their little slice of the pie. And nobody is agreeing who should get those slices of the pie.
Hold that tiger. So they're coming into Tuscaloosa. We're going to talk about that pretty much the whole show today. Zach Nagy is going to join us at 8:45. He's going to give us the real scoop, LSU Tigers on SI. And we're going to put that on all the platforms, and we'll break it off in a standalone segment. In a standalone segment on the YouTube channel as well. So I watched more LSU yesterday. And I do think Garrett Nussmeier, good quarterback, but boy, when he has to throw to the far side of the field, whatever it is, whether it's I'm on the left hash and I'm throwing far right, or I'm on the right hash and I'm throwing far left, the far side of the field, horizontally speaking, I mean, he's got kind of the deep shots deep down the field. He does have a nice little deep ball. But when it's intermediate and immediate area and I'm throwing to the opposite side of the field, I don't think that he's got quite it dialed in.
It's about throw power, not how far you can throw.
Yes.
It, you know,
the touch is not quite.
Yes. We have this conversation every year when it comes to draft time, and everybody freaks out because somebody can throw a ball 80 yards. And it's like, that's cool, but can he zip it to a guy on the sideline in the flat or whatever and beat the guy that's trying to jump the route? Like, that's what really matters is the velocity. Can he produce that velocity? And, yeah, I mean, I don't know if Garrett Nussmeier can.
I do like these three receivers, Xavion Thomas, Berrien Brown, Arian Anderson. And I like Nick Anderson as well, kind of the Aaron Anderson,
little traitor.
Little Arian Anderson.
That still cracks me up every time I think about it.
Little
That's Aaron. Why he transferred.
Because Coach Al, he never called him Arian Anderson. It was just Aaron Anderson.
Everywhere it went, little Arian Anderson.
I would transfer too.
I'd be like,
get the coach.
Come on, man.
You got to put some respect on my name, Coach. I think that Alabama have the defensive backs to deal with a bunch of quick, little, fast guys? Because that's kind of what these guys are. I mean, Arian Anderson is not big. No, Arian Anderson.
He is little Arian Anderson.
Listed at 5'8", 5'8", 188. Berrien Brown, what are you listed at, young man? You're listed at 5'11", 185. Okay. Just a hair bigger.
Nick Anderson's relatively big, but
Xavion Thomas, 5'10", 192. So there's your starting trio. Nick Anderson is listed at 6'4", 208. Okay. All right.
That's your big boy. But I mean, how many catches this year? What, like
10, 11?
Nothing.
How do you feel about Alabama's defensive backs going up against a bunch of small, little, quick, fast guys? Look, these guys all, Nick Saban would have loved this trio.
Oh my gosh. He would have loved them. I think it's, I don't know. I see the good and bad to it. I feel confident in Alabama's most of the members of its secondary, basically everyone but Damani Jackson, unfortunately. excuse me. I feel good about their physicality, and I think that they can, excuse me, I got something in my throat.
Roll Tide.
I think that they can deliver a message to those receivers and kind of keep them in check with the level of physicality that they all play with. We have seen it multiple times. We've seen Dejon Lee laying hits. You see Bray Hubbard every week laying down hits. And, we talked about Red Morgan, I think, yesterday, being a guy that's not afraid to get his hat dirty. But I am a bit concerned with their ability to maybe just stay in line with them as far as, covering guys downfield. If they're running some crossing routes and things like that, I'm a little concerned with their ability to maybe stay with them. But with that, I think that kind of coincides with, is Alabama's pass rush going to be able to get after Garrett? And, I feel good that Alabama's pass rush gets after Garrett Nussmeier. So then I don't really know that those downfield opportunities are going to all be there all that much because he's going to have so many people in his face every play.
I think if I'm Kane Womack, I'm just zone blitzing the whole time.
Yeah.
You guys are sitting back in various zones.
Go sack this kid 12 times tonight.
Yeah, you guys are sitting back in various zones, and we're sending a fourth or a fifth rusher basically any time from different angles and different places.
I don't think their offensive line is, I mean, we talked about how young they were. They don't have the experience to deal with those kinds. They're not going to be able to, pass guys off and like that. You're going to have a free man.
They've got, so I'm rewatching the LSU A&M game, finally getting all the way to the end of it. Their offensive line is not good in pass protection. But then every time that somebody's getting beat, I'm going over to our lads and saying, who is that? And it is
red shirt sophomore.
Yes. young kids. Yeah. Davis Weston was getting beat 75. Carius Kern, 57, was getting beat. Both those guys playing different tackles. Tyree Adams, red shirt sophomore, was getting beat. You had Cohen Eccles, red shirt freshman, was getting beat right up the middle. Tim Keenan, you need to look at 78 and you need to just try to eat his lunch the entire time. Whether it's Tim Keenan or Jay Smith, please. James has been, lightning flash of greatness here and there, but never consistently the light is on. You need to look at 78 and be like, man, the A&M guys bullied the mess out of him. I can too. Get underneath him and just. Yeah. Make life hard on him. I think that you've got three or four young offensive linemen that really make things challenging for LSU when you're trying to come up with a game plan, which is why on Tuesday I was like spouting about the RPO. Mm-hmm. It's like you've got to keep the defense off guard a bit or take advantage of the numbers game a little bit. And I think they will do that. But man, when they start getting into traditional offensive plays, that's where things get junked up, and that will present a lot of opportunities for the James Smith, LTs, and Tim Keenans of the world. Edrick Hill, you want to get jump on the stat sheet? This will be a good week to jump on the stat sheet.
Yeah, maybe we see some London Simmons this week.
I think London, his speed to power, that would be
is a prime game for any one of those guys to have a massive kind of breakout performance. I know we saw it a bit in the Tennessee game, with the multiple sack, but
Yanzi Pierre.
Any of those guys, if they want to, go have your career game here. Like, you got a pretty good opportunity ahead of you.
Only two guys have multiple sacks on this team, and only one of them is a defensive lineman. Sorry, I'm not counting Yanzi as a defensive lineman, more outside linebacker, yeah. Edge rusher. Yanzi is leading the team with four sacks, LT with three, Justin Jefferson with two. Those are your multiple sack guys. Edrick Hill and Keon Keeley both are credited with 1.5, so maybe you could say they got more than one, but 1.5. Everybody else, the other one sack guys, James Smith one, London Simmons one, Quay Russo one. I'm not really expecting Tim Keenan to be a sack guy, to be a multiple sack guy.
No,
but
get you half.
Right. Edrick Hill, we've got to ramp this up a little bit more than 1.5. LT, three is three through eight games, right? 7-1, eight games is not quite that good, in my opinion. Come on.
I mean, I don't think it's what he would want. What he would want.
Yeah, he asked. He said, hey, I'm going to have double-digit sacks this year. Well, you've got a long way to go. You got four games to get seven sacks. And obviously, we're Alabama fans are hoping for five, six, seven, eight games. Yeah. Eight games to get seven more sacks. SEC championship, quarterfinal, semifinal championship. Yeah. So four, you're looking for eight games. And maybe you can get that, but my goodness, guy. You're still pretty far off from where the goal that you set for yourself.
It still feels like there's a lot of almost sacks this year. It's just frustrating to watch. I mean, do you think if, just continuing to kind of throw guys out there that maybe get involved this week, if LSU is able to find some success with that RPO game, which I don't know if they will because, you know, it's hard to just install things like that. I mean, they do have the bye week.
Well, they're already doing it a bit.
But, you know, if you're going to...
But they can't do it 90% of the time.
Basically, yeah. So, you know, but if they are having some success with that, I mean, maybe we see a little Justin Hill this week.
Yes, and he has gotten more run. He got a lot of run in the South Carolina game.
I think his athleticism could be very valuable going against an offense like that. He is, he can cover a lot of ground quickly for a guy that plays the position he does.
How excited are you for next week, the potential return for Quay Russo?
Man. I haven't even really thought about it, to be honest with you, man, oh man.
Yeah, potential. I don't want to get everybody's hopes up and say Joe said he's coming back.
Sure.
I think that he's close. He's getting close to being cleared. I think that's where he is. I think he's getting close to being cleared. Definitely out this week. Obviously, the injury report came out yesterday, but I think that he is close to being cleared, which would net him 5 to 10 snaps, which would net him a couple of snaps, and then a couple more snaps against Eastern Illinois, a couple more snaps against Auburn, SEC championship game. I'm fully ramped up at that point.
Yeah, that's pretty dang good for this defense. I mean, he was one of the most effective members of that front seven when he was healthy, basically this season, if not the most effective up there. So I would love to see him get back out there. You know, like you said, if you can kind of ramp him up a bit in those final few games of the season, use him in some specialty situations where it's like, hey, go get you a pass rush down here. Go get you do whatever. That would be wonderful.
It'd be
really, really nice to see.
It's 3rd and 10. Yeah. Yanzi's still playing on the edge, and you've got LT and Russo playing through the middle. LT, Russo, and James Smith, because Tim Keenan is not gonna rush the passer as well. So that would be your front four, in my opinion.
I don't know. Not a lot of people blocking them.
Yeah. And then if you had to throw a fifth out there, you throw Justin Hill or Deontay Lawson, kind of whichever one is fresher at the time. Not going to be this week, but I do think that's something you should expect to see. The back two games of the year, at least. I think the Eastern Illinois game is going to be a nice little, hey, let's see how you feel. I think you'd still be pushing it to get him out there for the Oklahoma matchup, probably. But I think that there's a chance that he's out. I mean, golly, Allen.
I could very well see it. He warms up, and then right before the game, it's like, oh, he's not good. Or he's even in pads out there and just doesn't quite get on the field.
Yeah, Jeff Allen and his crew does an excellent job rehabbing these players. So I think that he is close to coming back. Let's look at the rest of this availability report. You've got Danny Lewis, the walking injury, questionable. Just forget about it.
There's no point in even really continuing to talk about it. He's going to be hurt every week.
It's Caleb Edwards. It's Josh Cuevas. It's Jay Lindsey. There you go. And Ryan Williams is listed as probable. Sounds like he took a little bit of injury on Tuesday. I think he's still got a hamstring sensitivity. That's a guess, by the way. That's a guess. That's not a fact. But that's kind of what I feel like it might be. And yeah, guys, he's probably gonna play against LSU.
I would think so.
And so I wouldn't worry about that. For the LSU side, they've got an interesting with Zach Weeks, Whit Weeks, both listed as Zach Weeks is doubtful, Whit Weeks list is questionable. But I think they're both gonna play. I think that's a little gamesmanship on the availability report. We'll ask Zach Nagy about that here in just a few minutes.
Whit has missed what, the last two games leading up to this, right?
Yes.
I don't know what exactly his injury was, but that's a pretty good amount of time to recover.
Ankle, I think I think it was ankle or foot.
That's a pretty good amount of time to recover. You get yourself 3 weeks. I have to imagine that ankle's feeling okay unless it was pretty badly hurt.
Freshman offensive lineman Carius Kern went out in that Texas A&M game, maybe with a case of embarrassment, but he's listed as probable for this week's game. And he sort of serves as the backup tackle but to both tackles and gets in there.
He's like the Geno Vandermark.
Yeah, there. Except not God. He's the outside version of Geno Vandermark, for sure. So pretty clean injury report last night for both squads. All the other Alabama guys who are out, we already know about Jamarion Latham, Caden Jones, Jeremiah Beeman, and of course the suspended Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. Tyree Adams and Gabriel Relaford, you already knew we're gonna be out for LSU. So no real big surprises last night. I know people were maybe a little surprised to see Ryan there, but anytime somebody's listed as probable, I don't care about it. Maybe I should care more about it, but if your list is probable, fine. It doesn't matter to me. Okay, so we'll keep going. We're going to get Zach Nagy in just a few minutes. But I want to go back to the end of the show yesterday where we were talking about quarterback run and Jalen Milroe last 2 years, 155 and 185, four touchdowns on the ground each game. So eight total touchdowns. What's that? 255 and 85 is 330, right? Roughly. 255 plus 85 is 330, 340. Yep. Right. So 340 yards and eight touchdowns on the ground in two games against LSU the last 2 years for Jalen Milroe. Obviously, I'm not expecting Ty to go 155 and four touchdowns on the ground, but I think that as I'm watching this, the LSU defense, they're playing so much man that they're running off. And it's just like, hey, man, will you take this 15 yards? Will you do your little athleticism around
it? You make one guy miss, right, and there's your 15.
Right. And so
I think the plays that Jalen Milroe turned into 80-yard touchdowns, Ty Simpson will turn into 20-yard gains.
Yeah. Yes. And, of course, there was more called quarterback run for Jalen. And he had the quarterback lead play where it looked like a read.
Put that foot in the ground and go.
Yeah, it looked like quarterback read, but it was always a keeper. And the running back just blocked the mess out of whoever was sitting there. Yeah. And it was Jalen. I loved that play because you looked like you're reading somebody and then it was, oh, running back's coming to block your face. I love that play.
Awesome.
I don't think we're going to see necessarily that play again.
Although, man, I would love to see Daniel Hill just block somebody into the dirt.
Yes. But we were talking about Ty Simpson quarterback run yesterday towards the end of it. I think 38 and a half yards is too low. I do. I think if I had, because I'd smash the over on that. My number to put me in a gambler's bind, if I were gambling, which I don't do, I don't, that's silly way to lose money. I think you'd have to put it at 55 yards, 54 and a half yards, because I think that there's a chance that he goes for right at 50. You know, a couple, five scrambles, six scrambles, seven scrambles. Mm-hmm. He's at 50 yards. It's November. It's life on the line time for Alabama. Like, he wasn't really scrambling that much early in the year. And I think some of that was, hey, man, just we need you. Don't hurt yourself. And scramble to pass. Don't scramble to run, which is probably more preferred as a quarterback.
I just think he does that so well.
Scramble to pass.
Yes. I think he does that so well that makes me think that he might just have less rushing yards.
And so But I think if you're playing cover one, if you're playing man, a lot of man,
yeah,
and they're running off, and it's just like, hey, man, there's 12 yards in front of me.
I mean, another thing he does well is take exactly what the defense gives
right.
him.
Right. So there's Ryan and Isaiah and Jeremy are 40 yards down the field in their route. I'm just going to take these 12 yards.
51 carries this season, 79 yards, which obviously it's the sack yardage and things like, you know, things like that, but. He's ran the ball a decent amount. I mean, 51 carries is nothing really to, you know, turn your nose up at. That's a decent amount of carries.
Yeah, 51, and you got to take the sacks out of that. So what is
that?
Yeah,
I don't know what his actual yardage is because ESPN just only wants to get
sacks.
Give you that.
Sacks allowed. Alabama is at 15. So what's 15 minus 51 is 41 and 36. 36 carries roughly across the eight games. So I think that Ty's going to be in for a handful of opportunities that if he can, white boy, shake somebody, the place will go crazy.
Sure.
the Greg McElroy stumble bumble, the Jake Coker stumble bumble down the side of the line.
Yeah, I mean, I still think about the Greg McElroy, you know, hopping down the sideline there. That was electric. That's one of the best plays in Alabama history.
Really, it is. For the moment.
Yes, for like all of the gravity of the situation and everything, for exactly what you needed at that moment in time.
And how early it was in the Saban dynasty. You had lost to Florida the year before. That basically the tightrope kind of got you over the hump in that and said, hey, we're about to be a dynasty.
Oh, man.
I agree with that. All right, so we've been talking about Alabama and LSU for most of the program. It's time to get a lot smarter with Zach Nagy. We're going to welcome Zach Nagy of LSU Tigers on SI into the program. But first, I want to let everybody know that we're brought to you by Strength Roofing and Siding. They're backed by 45 years of expertise, tens of thousands of roof installs, and over 400 five-star customer reviews across the company. Strength Roofing and Siding offers our customers the highest quality materials, fast install times, and market-leading extended warranties. Our Tuscaloosa local roofing experts, that's Zach Nagy, provide expert residential roof replacement and comprehensive repair service for homeowners across the greater Tuscaloosa area. Call 205-858-9050 and Zach Guffey will come out and let you know how your roof is feeling for this winter season and spring season. If your roof's got 5 years left on it, if it's got 10 years left on it, he'll let you know. If you got a trouble spot that you need to go ahead and repair before things get hairy this winter, he'll let you know. Or if the whole roof needs to be replaced, he'll work with you. He'll work with your insurance company. Call him at 205-858-9050. They'll come out for a free roof inspection and give you the peace of mind that you deserve in your home. Strength Roofing and Siding. Call them 205-858-9050.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And let's welcome Zach Nagy of LSU Tigers on SI. You guys follow him at ZNagy20 on the Twitter machine. He was on with us in the summer previewing the LSU Tigers. Zach, thank you so much for your time. I know it's been a crazy fall and especially a crazy 2 weeks for you. How are you, sir? And good morning.
Doing good on this end, man. It's been one heck of a run over here in Baton Rouge, to say the least. I mean, just feel like maybe when you're taking one step forward, you take two steps back with this program. So, nonetheless, we're here, Alabama week. Excited to talk a little bit of ball.
Absolutely. Zach, let's just do a big overview. In the summertime, both you and I landed on 10-2, and we're feeling pretty good about these Tigers. Mason was in the 8-4, 9-3 category. Obviously, we all missed it just a little bit. Give us your overall assessment here as LSU is 5-3 going into Alabama week. And really, you know, can play spoiler over the last month of the year, but hasn't really gone the way that the Tiger faithful would have liked.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked over the summer, I felt confident about this team. I'll be so transparent. We had good talks about it. I felt strong about, you know, what Garrett Nussmeier could provide, the receiving core. Defensively, you look strong. The one question mark kind of surrounded this offensive line, and during fall camp was when I really locked in on that and saw, okay, there are some problems here in Baton Rouge. And when I put out that final kind of season prediction, I landed on 9-3 and still not feeling strong about that today as we gear up for Alabama week. So nonetheless, man, it's been a pretty abysmal stretch for this program. You look at what's kind of transpired over these first 8 games of the year. Garrett Nussmeier has been banged up. Just can't get into a rhythm, man. He can't push the ball vertically. Even when he's on the left hash, he can't get it over to the right side. So there are some struggles over there when it comes to Garrett Nussmeier in the passing game. And then when there's not a balanced offensive attack because your offensive line is struggling, you can't run the ball. So offensively, we have seen just tremendous struggles. Brian Kelly's out of the picture. Your offensive coordinator's out of the picture. And, you know, it all kind of came crashing down at once after that Texas A&M game. So it's been a brutal stretch, man. It's been a brutal year for this team. Defensively, they've showed flashes. But over these last couple of weeks, those flashes have kind of died down. And, you know, you went from what you thought was going to be an elite defense to not necessarily mediocrity, just a good kind of serviceable defense. So nonetheless, man, I'll be transparent. A brutal year for this team. But now you kind of enter this Frank Wilson era over the next 4 games where he takes over as the interim. And like you said, they can kind of play spoiler. We'll see if they can do that. I'm not as confident as maybe I was last time we spoke during the summer, but surely a unique season in Baton Rouge.
Absolutely. We're hanging out with Zach Nagy. You read him on LSU Tigers on SI. Follow him on the Twitter machine at ZNagy20s. Zach, I want to just start on the offensive end here with Frank Wilson taking over and Alex Atkins basically getting the offensive coordinator role, former offensive line coach, gets promoted to offensive coordinator. Will there be wholesale changes in the offensive philosophy with Alex Atkins? Will it just be slight change? What do you think the offense? How do you think the offense will morph over the final month and really specifically this week with 2 weeks off really to prepare for this Alabama game?
Yeah, I think you're gonna run the dang ball. I think they've talked about that since Frank Wilson took over. And look, just because you're gonna run the ball doesn't mean you're gonna be effective doing it. It's just a matter of finding consistency in that area and continuing to do it. We saw Joe Sloan when he was at the helm. They'd maybe run the ball one time a possession and then kind of shy away from it when it wasn't successful. And look, in order to find something, find a rhythm, you have to keep attacking it. Even if you're not seeing as much success as you want, you have to keep attacking it. And for crying out loud, you have the number one running back in America on your roster in Harlan Berry. And, you know, you have to try to find extensions of the run game with him and other pieces. So it's been unique this year. And now, like you said, you throw Alex Atkins in as the kind of shot caller on offense, and he is your run game coordinator. He's taken on that role since he came into Baton Rouge. So I think you're going to see a lot of kind of rushing attempts. Not going to sit here and guarantee any success in that area, but my goodness, I'll tell you, they're going to try, and you're going to try to find more of a balanced attack on offense. Frank Wilson, obviously, is the interim coach, but he's also the running backs coach. And so he has a nice rapport with these running backs here, whether it's Caden Durham, Harlan Berry, Juwan Johnson. There's rapport there. So he believes in his guys, and he kind of has to. He recruited them. So nonetheless, you enter this part where when you're looking at changes on offense, kind of from a potential perspective, what you expect to see, it's A, a balanced attack, and B, it's going to be running the ball. So like I said, I'm not sure how effective they'll be in that, but they sure as heck will attempt to do it.
Look, things are looking pretty good here in Tuscaloosa right now, but we are no stranger to having issues with running the ball. Luckily, we have gotten very high-level quarterback play from Ty Simpson to kind of bail the team out in most spots, where I think LSU, unfortunately, this season has not quite gotten that level of high-level quarter or that rate of high-level quarterback play. And I want to ask you about Garrett Nussmeier's health. You mentioned it kind of a little bit earlier. We all saw the rumors, the reports kind of flying around early in the preseason that maybe he had some sort of injury in fall camp. I think they kind of died down. He was obviously fine to go for week one. And since then, you know, he hasn't quite looked the same that we saw last season. He hasn't quite been able to move as well. Where do you think his level of health is, and how much do you think it's really affected him this season?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag on that, Mason. I think when you look at it, Week one, he might have peaked. I mean, he was flawless in that fourth quarter at Clemson. I mean, he went 11 for 11 down the stretch, 11 for 11 on his last 11 throws, 8 for 8 in the fourth quarter, led them to a game-winning drive. I mean, he was fantastic in that game, and, you know, that was where you thought you had your resume builder, and you walked out of Clemson thinking that, okay, this might be a college football playoff team, and then you see who Clemson actually is this year. So, nonetheless, you don't want to discredit that victory, but it's kind of devalued itself in a way. So when it comes to Garrett Nussmeier's health, yeah, he's been banged up. He's been dealing with this core kind of abdominal injury. It's no secret. Brian Kelly talked about it earlier this year. I've had the opportunity to sit down with Garrett and talk about it as well. It's not a fluke. It's not fake. He's been dealing with this for sure. But as time's gone on, you've utilized an open date and whatnot, and he's kind of been rounding the corner, but man, he's getting hit hard. This offensive line is not doing him any favors. So he's been playing efficient ball. It started at Vanderbilt. Obviously, you go out there and get a loss, but your offensive line is not doing you any favors. The play calling is not doing you any favors. So Garrett Nussmeier is rounding the corner. He's obviously a gunslinger. He's going to have those plays where you're like, oh, wow, this is who we thought you were. And then maybe that next throw, you'll be like, okay, well, maybe this is also what we thought from Garrett. So he's a mixed bag. But to answer your question, man, yes, he's been dealing with some injuries. That injury bug has been kind of nagging on him, but he's rounding the corner. And I expect him to kind of go out and do Garrett Nussmeier things. It's just a matter of if that offensive line will give him opportunities to do a Garrett Nussmeier things.
Well, let's talk about this offensive line, because that's kind of been the theme of the of this conversation so far. You've had Tyree Adams, you got Cohen Echols, Weston Davis. Really, I'm looking at Cohen Echols, Weston Davis, and kind of backup tackle, kind of somewhat playing tackle, Carius Kern, as big problem points. What do you see is maybe the problem points for the LSU offensive line? And is there any strengths? Are there any strengths? Is there anything that you think the LSU offensive line can lean on, maybe an offensive scheme, or just players that you think that, okay, there's some weaknesses, but there are also some strengths?
Yeah, we'll start high and go low, right? We'll talk about the strengths here. And the strength is your center. It's the center position in Braylon Moore. This is a Virginia Tech transfer, a guy who's the quarterback of the offensive line, the shot caller in that regard. And he's one of your highest graded offensive linemen. He's been serviceable when you have not had very many serviceable pieces here. And look, I don't want to sit back and be pessimistic about this LSU team, this LSU offensive line, but the proof is in the product, right? You've seen what they've put on the field, the product that they've put there. So when you're talking about strengths on the offensive line, sure, it starts with Braylon Moore. But when you look at the rest of your pieces, it's been a unique spot. For me, that left tackle spot where you don't have Tyree Adams, he's banged up with the ankle injury. He underwent tightrope surgery a couple weeks back, and the expectation is he'll continue to miss some time, clearly out for this week, according to the availability report. But does Carius Kern get the nod there? He's probable with an ankle injury that he suffered a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see how healthy he is. You sure as heck don't want to start DJ Chester at the left tackle spot. He's been pretty abysmal during his time with this team this year. So when you talk about weaknesses and concerns, it starts at the tackle position. Weston Davis has been your lowest graded offensive lineman this year. Carius Kern, sure, a five-star, but a true freshman nonetheless. So weaknesses certainly start at the tackle position and trickle themselves into the guard spot as well. So tough challenges ahead for this O-line.
What are the chances you think this this offensive coordinator, Alex Atkins and Frank Wilson, lean on the RPO, try to play the numbers game and just leave the game in Garrett Nussmeier's hands? You mentioned kind of deep passings, maybe been a bit of an issue, but after I watched the A&M game and I thought, wow, if they can just stay in this RPO, maybe they can really affect Alabama with numbers. You know, numbers on the outside, we'll give it off Harlan Berry, we'll give it off to Caleb Durham. You got stacked box, we'll throw it out wide, a little swing pass, a little short pass. What's your perspective on that?
I think it's surely something that they're going to dial up this week. Of course, I think you can kind of rely. I think you need to trim the playbook to 15 to 20 plays that you know are surefire winners and see where you can go from there. For me, it's going to be a little bit unique just because we've seen defenses get accustomed to the screen passes and those quick plays, and it's become a kryptonite. They haven't been able to get it going like much of the offense. So I certainly think that they'll rely on that at times, and it's something that they can fall back on. But, man, you got to find something quick and roll with it, because it's going to be a challenge moving forward, especially with a new play caller there. And we'll see if Alex Atkins can find a groove. But it all starts with the trenches. And I'm going to harp on that this entire time because we're going to see it come to light this weekend where it's been a struggle. So you want to go quick? And if it starts with RPOs, sure. Let's see how you can roll there. I definitely think that that'll be something they go to, Joe.
I want to flip us to the defensive side of the ball for LSU. You mentioned the trenches right there. That's a spot where, you know, Alabama has not seen quite as many struggles on the offensive line that LSU has this season. But
can't run the ball.
Yeah, has not been able to run the ball. And good pass rushers have really been able to get after Ty Simpson this year when they go against Alabama's tackles. What do you see as a strength for LSU's defense in this game? I know you mentioned that they have, you know, maybe only been to a serviceable level, you could call it, this season, but still one of the maybe one of the strengths of this team. What do you see as a point in this game where they can maybe, win some of these reps against Alabama?
Yeah, I think on the defensive line, you want to talk about the edge rushers. I mean, you went out and spent money. There is no secret about that. This team went into the portal and spent some big-time money. And Brian Kelly talked about it. This is an $18 to $20 million roster that you're working with. So it's unique. Again, that's the word I'm going to keep using here, man. That's my kind of trigger word where I sit back and I'm like, yeah, it's been brutal. But where you try to find your wins on this defense is at the edge rusher's position. And you look at guys like Patrick Payton. He's a game wrecker. And his numbers aren't consistent. But when he gets it going, man, he's hard to stop. So I think Patrick Payton could be a big-time X factor in this one. You look at the other side, Jack Pyburn. Again, numbers do not jump off the page. But he makes his presence felt in unique ways. So when you look for wins on defense, it starts in the trenches. And it starts with your outside guys. Trying to wreak havoc on those tackles. So Patrick Payton and Jack Pyburn are two guys that you're going to sit back and certainly feel them this weekend. We'll see what type of impact they can truly make at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I mean, it's going to be an electric environment. This Alabama team is rolling. So wins on defense is going to start at the edge rusher position. And then cornerback-wise, Mansoor Delane is arguably the best cornerback in the country. They don't throw the ball at him anymore. He's been just that much of a shutdown cornerback. So this is a Jim Thorpe semifinalist, the guy who's going to be a finalist for that award, I would assume. And nonetheless, I really do think that Mansoor can be a game wrecker in that regard there. But there is also the other side where Ty Simpson can try to pick apart this secondary. True freshman DJ Pickett has been consistent, but this is a true freshman going on the road to Alabama. This is not an easy task. PJ Woodland is a guy who has been serviceable this year. But nonetheless, Ty Simpson, an elite-level quarterback this year, can attack him. So when you look for wins, it starts with Mansoor Delane and then your edge rushers. But from there, it kind of falls apart where you're not quite sure where you can go from there.
Yesterday on the SEC coaches teleconference, he talked about Whit Weeks maybe not being exactly where he wanted him to be health-wise going into this game. 2 weeks ago on the SEC coaches teleconference, he thought, oh, he's on track and doing well. What's the status of Whit Weeks, and what do you see? Because I kind of am taking some of this with a grain of salt and thinking he's going to play on Saturday. But you're in the program, you're down there. What do you know about Whit Weeks and his availability for Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be a game-time decision for him. I'm not quite sure he gets it going this week. I caught up with his brother West earlier this week, and they said it's going to be tough to potentially get him out there this weekend. The expectation would be that if he can't go this week, obviously, he'll be good to go next week. But it's going to be tough to get him out there this week is what I've been told and what West kind of echoed this week as well. Is it a smokescreen? I'm not sure. He has missed the last two games, obviously, with this nagging ankle injury. But this is one where he's still in a boot. He's not practiced. So you're going to put him on the field without practicing for 3 weeks. It would be hard for me to believe. But again, man, you have nothing to lose. And this is your captain. This is your star defender. This is a guy that you put on the field no matter what. So we'll see what happens in the morning on Saturday. He'll probably be a game time decision. But right now listed as doubtful. And Frank Wilson echoed that yesterday on that SEC teleconference.
We're hanging out with Zach Nagy, LSU Tigers on SI. You can follow him at ZNagy20 on the social media machine on Twitter. Zach, when Coach Kelly was fired, last Sunday, we were all kind of sitting here like, oh, this LSU game just got a lot more interesting, and maybe we likened it to a teacher that I didn't like so much and a subject that I would excel in. You know, I was a good math student, but some of my math teachers I didn't really love, so I didn't try as hard, didn't study as hard. Frank Wilson seems to get it. Frank Wilson seems to be about what LSU Tigers, what the program stands about. What's your feeling on maybe just the vibe in the program, the shift in the program maybe? Is there a shift in the program? Because we're sitting here conversating over the last week and a half about, well, maybe these LSU boys are going to be ready or more fired up or more just into it because, you know, Brian Kelly, we don't like that guy. He doesn't quite get it. Frank Wilson's our guy.
Yeah, the fact that it's only been 10, 11 days since Brian Kelly's been fired, I'll tell you what, man, it's felt like a month. It's felt like a year. I mean, it has been a crazy stretch over here in Baton Rouge. And I tuned in a little bit earlier and heard you guys talking about the president stuff, the AD stuff. I mean, it has been a crazy stretch over here in Baton Rouge, to say the least. Chaotic is really the word to use. And for me, obviously, Brian Kelly out of the picture. Let's see if this team can find some juice. And Frank Wilson is certainly one that's going to do that. A Louisiana native, a guy who understands the program, like you alluded to there. He knows the ins and outs of what you need. And he brings just a different type of energy, man. One that Brian Kelly did not. And he brings back old traditions. Now, this is a guy who's bringing back this big drum of where before practices, man, they're beating the heck out of the drum and getting the energy up before they go out on that practice field. And he's different. He's a player's coach. So it's a completely different type of vibe in that locker room right now. And talking to players like Mansoor Delane, West Week, et cetera, this week, they talked about that. They really feel that. So sure, you know, from a locker room morale perspective, it's up. They feel a lot stronger. But ultimately, it's going to be how you can perform on the field. And I think talent trumps all. And I think Alabama obviously has more talent on that area. But you're going to see some more energy on this team. The morale is up. It's just a matter of seeing what type of product you can get out there on the field. But love what Frank Wilson does, man. This is a guy who understands the program, the culture, elite level recruiter. And that's why you put him in that spot to really keep this type of morale there, have no opt-outs. And we haven't seen that so far. So I love Frank Wilson, a great guy. And I'm really excited to see what he can do over these next four games in Baton Rouge.
I kind of have one more big picture kind of question. Maybe you can help it clear it up a little bit for us. Because, you know, you mentioned we were talking about the president search earlier. We're talking about the interim, non-interim, removing the interim tag, but still going to resume this in the future. So, I mean, just can you kind of clear up what maybe is the latest update there? What's really happening with Virge Ausberry and that AD search and the coaching search?
Yeah. So earlier this week on Tuesday, you go out and you select your new president, Wade Roos. And this is a guy with Louisiana ties. He was over there in McNeese, and you gave him that role. He earned that position. A couple of hours later, he comes out and kind of knocks off the interim athletics director tag from Virge Ausberry's title. And let's say less than 24 hours later, he comes out and says, I'm not quite sure what the difference is between permanent and knocking off the interim tag. So a lot of questions over here in Baton Rouge surrounding, okay, well, is Virge Ausberry your long-term guy? Is he just going to be the guy leading the coaching search? What happens there? He kind of went out and clarified his statement last night on a New Orleans radio show, but not really. So to answer that question, there is no answer. Nobody is really sure what's going to go on with Virge Ausberry at the helm of this coaching search and so forth from a big picture perspective. For right now, he's leading the coaching search committee, and he knocked the interim tag off of the athletics director name. But long term, we'll see what happens there. This is a guy who's well-respected across the SEC, well-respected in Baton Rouge, obviously a former player, and has been around for decades. So we'll see what happens long-term there, but nonetheless, a confusing situation when it comes to what his title truly will be long-term here in Baton Rouge.
Zach, every week we play a game going into each matchup called three players to watch. As we kind of identify who either needs to have a big game, who's going to be under pressure, or who maybe off the radar players we think will pop. Why don't you take your hand at it with an LSU version? Who will be your three players that you're going to keep an eye on in the press box in Bryant-Denny Stadium to either need to have big games if LSU's going to win, or you think might have a big game? Who are three players that you've got your eye on with these LSU Tigers?
Yeah, so number one, it's going to start with Harlan Berry. Like I said, this is the number one running back in America coming out of high school. This is Frank Wilson's guy who he really recruited with force to make sure he made his way to Baton Rouge. So for me, Harlan Berry is the one to watch. They said they're going to run the ball. Let's see how true that is. Let's see how much you get the ball into your playmaker's hands in Harlan Berry. Another one is not kind of that sexy pick, but it's Weston Davis on the offensive line. If he does not have a good game, which a lot of people would expect that might not be the case, you're going to be in trouble on offense. You're not going to be able to get that balanced attack. You're not going to be able to open up the run game. So on offense, the two guys that I'm looking at is Harlan Berry as that flashy pick, and then you're not as flashy pick in Weston Davis on the offensive line. Flip-flop to the other side. And I'm watching Patrick Payton. We talked about it a little bit before about you have to win in the trenches. And yes, Alabama's offense has been great this year. Ty Simpson is elite. This is an elite game player. Not even a game manager at this point. I just think he makes the plays at this point in time. So I think you have to try to get some pressure on him, bat down some passes. That's what Patrick Payton is known for. So when I'm looking on defense, you know what you're going to get from Mansoor Delane. You know what you're going to get from West Weeks. You have to win some downs in the trenches. And it starts with Patrick Payton for me. So this is a long-rangey guy. I fully expect to see him try to make some plays here and see if he can impact it in a couple of different ways.
We've been hanging out with Zach Nagy, LSU Tigers on SI. You can read him right there. You can follow him at ZNagy20 on the social media machine. Zach, I really appreciate your time. I want to leave you with the final thought, your final word. What you feeling about this game? And thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, man. I love coming on and talking ball with you guys. And for me, obviously, I'm not going to sit here and sunshine pump. I haven't done it this show. I'm not going to end it with any of it either. So for me, when it comes to a final score prediction, I'm going to have to roll with the Tide, unfortunately, 34-20. I think that this is one where they win by two scores. I just think, yes, LSU's going to have energy. Yes, the morale is up in that locker room. But at the end of the day, man, your offensive line has been a thorn in your side. And I think it's going to continue to be the case this week. You know, you have new morale, you have a different coaching regime, but you don't have new players coming into that locker room. So I do think at the end of the day, the talent is going to win this one for Alabama. I think Ty Simpson has been playing just some fantastic football. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to sit here and say too much, but man, he's been playing some great ball. And I think he's going to do some damage this weekend. It's at home. I think they have a ton of different kind of pieces rolling in their favor. I got to ride with Alabama in this one, 34-20. I think they handle business and really keep trekking along with what's been a really strong season over there in Tuscaloosa.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and hope we will see you on Saturday.
Absolutely, my guys. I hope you all have a good one. I'll see y'all soon.
Yes, sir. That's Zach Nagy joining us on the show. You can follow him at ZNagy20 on the Twitter machine. Follow all his written work at at LSU Tigers on SI. Really appreciate him giving us some expertise. Mason, how do you digest some of his thoughts right there?
It's reassuring is probably the wrong word because I'm not really. I don't care one way or the other what happens with the LSU AD situation, president's coaching search situation. But it is just kind of funny to hear that even those closest to it, the people covering it, are just like us, completely in the dark. Things are bad in Baton Rouge.
The powers that be are being powers that be. Yes, they're struggling. I'm in control. No, I'm in control.
Yeah. You know,
I'm making this decision. No, I'm making this decision.
It's tough over there. It's still a good football team. You know, I think you can kind of glean that from what we talked about just then was it's still a very talented football team, but just a lot of things outside of the 53 and a half yards that they play inside of. There are a lot of things going wrong outside of there.
All right, so really his conversation leaves me with one question. How confident are you in the Alabama front seven, specifically the front four, whoever the front three, front four end up being, in the ability to take advantage of a less than stellar offensive line? 10, the most confident, they're going to eat them up. 0, no confidence, it's going to be a crazy game.
6.5.
Oh, we're right on the same page.
6.5, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought they would eat up South Carolina more than they did.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm basing this off of. South Carolina came into that game with a bad offensive line that had struggled very similar to how LSU has this season. Mm-hmm. And it was like, all right, you should sack Lenore Sellers 5-6 times this game. And that didn't quite happen. So I'm more than 50, I guess, but not much.
Yeah, the consistency factor is a huge question for me. It's like
I think you might get some splash like plays.
Yonzi's going to do it. Yonzi's going to get in there. Yeah. On an individual level, sure. I'm confident in Yonzi Pierre.
Yonzi will get him one 15-yard sack or something, you know.
I love you, James Smith. I think you can be a hell of a player, but I have no confidence that you're going to bring it down in and down out. Sorry. Clip this and put it in your ear all Saturday day. But I just don't have any confidence that he's going to.
We haven't seen it yet.
Right. Great. Tim Keenan, I love Tim Keenan.
We know what we're getting with Tim Keenan.
But Tim's just going to clog the middle and push the pocket forward. I think that, you know, that's
I mean, I love
a good aspect to have.
I love Tim, but he's going to give you an 85 out of 100 as far as, like, you know, the effectiveness. Like,
he's much more on stopping the run.
Yeah, like, you're not.
Now, it's going to be important to stop the run.
There's a ceiling for Tim Keenan, and it's not the most elite player on the field.
Yeah, it's going to be important to stop the run because I do think Harlan Berry is a baller. Any running back that's wearing 22, I automatically love you.
That's a great running back number.
Yes. I'm sitting there watching LSU last week with my girlfriend, and I say that, and she goes, why? And I'm like,
I don't know how to explain it.
It just looks right.
Yeah.
22 in the backfield, running between the tackles, just skirting around. Yeah, big fan of that. And I think Harlan Berry is a great run. And look, Caden Durham, 29.
Still a good running back.
Really good running back, too. And if they're just going to be committed to running the football, well, Alabama, you're going to have to bring your lunch pail, bring your hard hat, and tackle. But still, yeah, like, Yonzi, I think, is going to get in there.
Mm-hmm. LT. Smith will have one or two plays.
I have no confidence in LT Overton. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
Yeah, I think he'll probably get a hand on him. Yeah. You know, he might throw him off balance just a little bit, get one shoulder or something.
Keon Keeley, two sacks, Keon Keeley.
And we'll see.
That's somebody who I do think, you know, in pass rushing situations, hey, man, go get the quarterback. I think he's grown. I think he's growing into his the player that we are hoping for.
Where's Kelby Collins been this year? You know? That was a guy we talked about all offseason.
Oh, we got him from Florida. Oh,
he's been silent.
Alabama guy.
Yeah.
What in Gardendale?
I believe that's right.
Let's see. I'll make sure, because I'm going to be upset. Kobe Collins, high school. He was it Gardendale?
Maybe not.
Yes, it was. Bingo.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, just a guy that we talked about a lot off season and just didn't quite happen.
Our man Dax, I could see a good 4 or 5 sack game coming. Dax, I want to have your confidence.
That's just for Yonzi Pierre, though.
Oh, yeah, Yonzi gets all 5.
We're going 10 as a team.
Yonzi gets all 5. Yeah. We appreciate Dax chiming in on the Twitter machine and chiming in always. Dax is solid.
I look forward to his score predictions every week.
He's been on it all year.
He's been pretty good.
Last week, we're all sitting here going, South Carolina or Alabama a million, South Carolina 0. And he's going, 4-point game. And I'm like, really? And boom, came out to be biting all our nails off.
Ball knower.
Yeah, Dax is on it, been on it all year long. So definitely appreciate it. Dax keeps us, like, balanced here. For sure. So I appreciate our time with Zach Nagy right there. LSU Tigers on SI. We'll do a Football Friday tomorrow with Zach Guffey of Strength Roofing and Siding, and we'll pick our 3 players to watch and start talking about, you know, keys to the game. I'm just going to spoil a key to the game, and I do think it is getting pressure. Like if you've got a team that has a weak aspect, well, you have to take advantage of it. I don't think that Alabama did a great job taking advantage of South Carolina's weak aspects last week, particularly as they stood not getting after it in the run game. That's one thing I meant to ask Zach Nagy about quarterback run. Just still can't stop quarterback run. Whatever it takes on Saturday, Ty Simpson, if you've got to carry it for 10 times to move the ball forward, run if you have to be the running game 15, then maybe that's just what you got to do, because that's been so frustrating to watch. Oh, inside zone, 1 yard. Inside zone, you're getting half a yard.
This is terribly off topic, but Dax has shared a tweet with me.
Okay.
Have you looked at the Florida and Kentucky injury report for this week?
No, but I should.
Florida has 13 players out.
How many of them are really out, and how many of them are just, I don't want to play?
I mean, I don't know, but whoo-wee. Eugene Wilson III, Treyon Webb, Dallas Wilson, Ty Jackson, Grayson Howard, LJ McCray, Aaron Gates, Michael
Carroll.
I mean, this.
Yeah, I just
Kentucky,
got to it.
Kentucky has 9 of their own or whatever, 8 of their own. This is.
Ooh.
Man, oh man, that's a tough spot to be.
That's an underrated rivalry game, Kentucky Florida.
Yeah,
Kentucky Florida beat the brakes off of them for like 20 years, and then Kentucky got a couple. That's an underrated rivalry game for sure.
I feel like there's a handful of those in the SEC.
Yes,
And I mean, you know, Big Ten people probably say that about the Big Ten as well.
Alabama, sure, Mississippi State, to me, that's not, I mean,
the battle for Highway 82.
I don't believe that, but it often is an ugly game.
Yeah, sure, I'll give you that.
You know, it often is an ugly game.
Yeah.
So, all right. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I do want to mention yesterday, five-star linebacker, Alabama commit 2026, Xavier Griffin was named to the Navy All-American Bowl for second year in a row. Also played in it as a junior. Not a ton of guys get to do that. I think, I don't remember what the exact number was, but on this year's roster, I think I counted like 10 or 15 juniors.
Can
on the
we
roster.
Just early enroll him and play and get him on the roster right now?
I mean, I'm saying,
Miss J.
Got his stats here. 68 through 10 games this season, 68 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 15 quarterback pressures. So,
can we sneak him into a uniform this weekend to take advantage of some of those LSU tackles?
Man, oh man. Go check out his highlight tape. You can watch it. You can find it on Huddle. You can go to his Twitter page at @Zay_social. You can find the post from the Navy All-American Bowl. He reposted it. I wrote about it yesterday on Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. I cannot wait for this guy to get on campus. He is going to be so electric. You know, probably going to need to put on a little bit of LBs before he gets here. Maybe a little bit of a Justin Hill situation where he's just a little bit on the slim side. But regardless, like, so insanely versatile. And plays well above the slight slenderness to his build. Like, you know, I think he's, what is it, probably 6'2", 215 or so, 220. He plays like he's 6'2", 245.
Super excited to get him, get them on campus. Make sure you follow Mason Woods at @MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine for all of the recruiting updates. He's got you covered with tweets. He's got you covered with videos. He's got you covered with articles on BamaCentral.com and, of course, Vanderbilt Commodores, Missouri Tigers, and Boston College as well.
Got a nice little exclusive Vandy scoop this week.
Yes, absolutely.
Our friend Joey Dwyer, you know, sent me a little tidbit about somebody, made some things happen, and we had an exclusive interview on the website. It was pretty good.
Go Doors, anchor down. Mason Woods
doing big
work.
Things up there.
All right. Well, that's
locking down the Tennessee region.
That's where it starts. That's where it starts.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit on the show. I may have been a little incorrect with my assessment of Tennessee high school football.
The more
that I watch it, there are pockets of very, very good high level football being played.
It's not Texas. It's not Georgia. Sure. It's not Florida. But it ain't bad.
It's not the worst either.
Yeah. It ain't bad. All right, we'll have Football Friday tomorrow. Dax, I'm sure, will call on the voicemail line. You can call on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Leave us your predictions for this LSU game. Hey, you want to be even more creative? Leave us your predictions for Alabama St. John's, because we're going to talk Alabama St. John's tomorrow as well. Hopefully Alabama basketball can get some of its players back healthy for that game. Otherwise, you may be up a creek up in New York.
This has a chance to be up there with the Gonzaga win. That
oh,
day,
don't do know, that to me.
Like, knock. I mean, but this could be like that day.
Don't do that to me. You win in Madison Square Garden. Ooh. I'm gonna be walking into Brian Denny's day, 10 feet tall. I'm gonna be.
Man.
So ready to go on Saturday for that LSU game as well. So we'll talk about it all tomorrow right here on the program. Big thanks to Strength Roofing and Siding for sponsoring the program. Call them 205-858-9050. We'll have Zach Guffey join us tomorrow for a Football Friday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.